At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Initiating startup sequence.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ready, TJ Jefferson? You ready? Micah Parsons is coming to town.
It's going to be painful.
I wish him well, except this weekend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Syracuse head coach Fran Brown. Coming up, Grammy Award winning artist Zach Brown. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun first 2 hours, to say the least, here on the show. We had Kurt Warner on the show, and then we had the coach of Syracuse football, Fran Brown, on the show, and just had a great chat backstage in the green room with Kenny Chesney. It was awesome. wait a minute. Zach Brown of the Zach Brown Band is here, and we're excited to have him out here. The reason why I just said what I said is, you have to watch this back later on when you're on Disney Plus or you're listening on the podcast. Chris Brockman talking to Fran Brown and talking
about what a big
fan he is of Syracuse football, and Fran Brown, what he's built with the program last year with Will Howard, who, as we all know, didn't play for Syracuse.
Did not.
The coach didn't let it go, and this is the moment where the coach said, well, actually, it was Kyle McCord last year. And it's interesting, Kyle was there because Will Howard was the quarterback in Ohio State.
Right.
So just for bringing everyone up to speed on what we've done here for the first 2 hours.
Well, I was talking to Jim Tressel earlier. That was
Isn't
really
that great?
Fun.
It was great. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. 844-204-RICH is the number to tell here on the show. No, we got a full hour to go.
Paul Pasqualoni's coming up next.
You know what? It's kind of funny.
By the way, that guy was not nice to me when I was a student.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's call him out.
Yeah.
Speaking of people wondering when it's going to be all over, one has to wonder if Detroit Tiger fans feel that way right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Once upon a time, the Detroit Tigers were cruising to an American League Central title. And this thing was wrapped. This thing was done. This thing was in the freezer. To use a phrase here in Los Angeles, sports law, I guess sports play-by-play lore, the jello was jiggling.
Jiggling, right? Baby.
And then the Cleveland Guardians caught fire. Once upon a time, 15 games back, they're now in a flat-footed tie with the Detroit Tigers, who have absolutely fallen apart. And last night, the Guardians taking on the Tigers and their Cy Young candidate. And we talk about another lock.
Mm-hmm.
And your guy, Garrett Crochet, goes tonight in Toronto to potentially win the Cy Young Award, too. Tarik Skubal last night against the Guardians had a 2-0 lead, and the Guardians did the most Guardians thing, which is score 3 runs without getting the ball out of the infield. Actually, the ball did go out of the infield once, and that was after a leadoff bunt put one man aboard, and then a sacrifice bunt or a try to bunt for a base hit. Skubal jumps off of the mound and for some reason does not plant his foot, pirouette and fire with his Cy Young left arm, a bullet to first. He just played like long snapper and decided to flip it between his legs and threw it up the right field line.
Crazy.
So now it's on. Crowd's going nuts. And yada, 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 Guardians take the lead and didn't give it up. This is one of the biggest comebacks in the history of Major League Baseball that we're seeing right now. This team was dead in the water. Mm-hmm. And on behalf of everybody else in the American League playoffs, and that includes the New York Yankees, who, thanks to the Red Sox largesse last night, is one game out of the American League East division title and the best record in the American League, as the Blue Jays, despite already having clinched a spot, they're falling apart, and the Yankees need to be one game better than the Blue Jays because they don't have the tiebreak. The days of playing game 163 and blowing your chance at winning a wild card series because you have to play one extra game just for playoff positioning are over. They're just using straight up win-loss from the regular season as a tiebreak. Yanks have to be one game better than the Blue Jays. On behalf of the Mariners and the Jays and the Yankees, you don't want the Guardians in. They were one massive tough out last year. All they do is put the ball in play and put the pressure on you. And last night, Skubal and the Tigers broke. The Tigers, once upon a time, the old English D, they are now in that third wild card position with the Astros right behind them. Mm-hmm. They could fall right out. Kudos to the Guardians, man. They just have a bunch of baseball players that never quit, never say die. And what, they've gained 11 games in the last 3 weeks, which is damn near an impossibility. But that's all they do is win baseball games, and the Tigers have done nothing but lose them lately. And don't let the Guardians in. They got people who throw 100 million miles an hour coming out of the pen. They got arms. They got bats. They got one of the best players in baseball. I know you love him.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez. No one talks about him.
So, what is going on in baseball?
It's crazy.
Your Mets won a game in Wrigley Field.
Man.
Did you see the sign outside of Murphy's Bar? Did I not send that one to you?
No.
The sign outside of Murphy's Bar read that they, you know, they have a marquee about what who the Cubs are playing. It was the Cubs versus the White Sox of New York.
No.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, the disrespect was real.
And then
they got
the, Mets, the Mets came back on him and won the game.
Yeah, David Peterson seemed like he should not have been out there. It was 6-1 at one point. Yeah. Jeff McNeil commits his second error in the inning. I think it was the...
Not good.
Sixth, and I picked up my remote, guys, to turn the channel, and I put it down. And I was like, nah,
Mets
I gotta ride this out.
They won 9-7,
yeah,
and now they're back in that one-game lead.
Seat.
Well, driver's seat. Okay, that's one way to put it.
Well, they're in the driver's seat right now, as opposed to the Reds and the Diamondbacks. We're in the driver's seat for mm-hmm. that.
Mets are at 68% chance to make the playoffs, according to ESPN's analytics model.
I don't know how I could say that. I mean, you got two teams, one game behind them. Two.
Yeah, well, we don't have two games teams in front of us.
Speaking on behalf of the lone, and both of the teams have a tiebreaker on the Mets. And speaking on behalf of the lone New York playoff baseball team that's clinched in a Mets town, which is, you got to give that up for the Yankees, in a Mets town to go ahead and do this and then maybe wind up with the best record in the American League, and maybe wind up AL East champs thanks to the Boston Red Sox, which would make that an absolute chef's kiss. Rooting for your Red Sox tonight, Chris. Oh, man.
Thank you.
I am all nessened out tonight.
Me too.
It's kind of wild that you root for your fiercest enemy.
Oh, man. No, they're not. I love the way they play.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Garrett Crochet should be the Cy Young Award winner.
Crochet Day.
Oh, yeah.
You guys spent the first 2 months of baseball fighting every day.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember.
I don't remember it at all.
When you say things into a camera and a mic that you can review them forever.
I don't remember that.
But the biggest news in Major League Baseball yesterday was the incredibly welcome news that replay, if you will, is coming to a ball and a strike near you. That what's baseball calling it? They're calling it the automated ball strike challenge system, the ABS. I like it.
Like your brakes.
I like it. And it's coming in the 2026 season twice. A batter, a pitcher, or a catcher. Nobody can do it from the dugout. Can challenge whether a pitched ball was a ball or a strike. And it has to come right after the pitch. You can't, the dugout can't call for it. It's got to be either a pitcher, a catcher, or a batter. And they signal by tapping the helmet or the hat, okay? Pitcher, catcher, or batter has to tap the hat or the helmet, let the umpire know. And then we'll take a look. And if you're right, you keep your challenge. Two challenges, that's all you get. In each extra inning, a team will be awarded a challenge if it has none remaining entering the inning. And they use a 5G network from T-Mobile. So it's brought to you by. Set up around the perimeter of the field to track the location of the pitch, and a graphic on the scoreboard shows the result of the challenge. And what it looks like is it looks like the Hawkeye system that you see in tennis. And it'll happen right away. And I will just say this. It is incredibly needed. Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron Boone said he wants it to either be used only for ball four or strike three. Don't like that. Don't like it.
Oh, interesting.
No.
Why don't you like that? Why?
Because there's a massive difference between a 2-1 count and a 1-2 count and some at-bat that's going down, two runners on, two outs. Massive difference in pitching to somebody 1-2 than 2-1. Massive difference between 0-1 and 1-0. Massive difference between 3-0 and 2-1. The number of times you hear somebody say out there in baseball, well, or football, any sport. Oh man, if you had basically called something different in the second quarter, wouldn't have mattered. I mean, the rest of the game would have gone completely different, except for the fact that it changes the way these things change the way you pitch, the way you call plays in football, the way you run an offense, whether you're up by one score or not. And so, massive difference in a playoff baseball game. Two guys on in scoring position, two outs, your best hitters at the plate, and instead of 2-1, it's 1-2 because the umpire missed something. No, thank you. No, thank you. Now, the thing that's going to be removed from the game is a catcher poorly frames a strike and leads an umpire to call a strike a ball. That will get rectified by instant replay. Happened last night. Aaron Judge wound up getting a strike three that you could see on the box called a ball because the White Sox catcher didn't frame it properly. And if the pitcher just tapped his hat, Judge would have been called out, which would have been helpful because he had to do a double play the next at bat. But listen, the number of times I am seeing an umpire flat out blow it should be over. And I tip the cap to Major League Baseball for going in this direction. It doesn't take much time. I've seen the way it works in the minor leagues when they looked at it. The tap of the helmet hits. Within seconds, it shows up on the scoreboard. You see it. The whole crowd sees it. And if you get two challenges and every single challenge you get right, you get to continue it. Mm. Now, it'll be up to the coaching staff and management and all the analytics people to tell the players, don't use it in the first inning.
Yeah,
don't use it in the third inning.
Right.
Be judicious on when you use it.
Right?
No. There are big moments in a fifth inning or fourth inning. Mm. Again, these playoff games too. We're thinking about it about like it's a nice warm day in middle of June. Now, I'm talking about baseball playoff games when you're watching and you know it. You know it. And I'll know it this October. I don't know if you will, but wow. Bottom line is...
Wow. That was such a quick shot,
yeah,
too.
Like, his team stunk.
If it happens in June, leadoff guy gets on a walk to lead off the third inning, and you're sitting there going, all right, maybe I'll just order a beer, order a hot dog. But in playoff baseball,
you're not leaving.
Game's over.
Yeah.
Game's over. We just walk the leadoff guy. So now your third inning, fourth inning, fifth inning, and you're not getting any runs, and you're going against an amazing pitcher who's on a roll, and you could switch a 1-2 count to a 2-1 count, or a 2-0 count from 2-1 to 3-0. You're definitely using that with a guy on base. These dumbass analytical stuff where you're now knowing you're going to be thinking about the pitch counts up. You could get this guy now if you switch one count in your favor. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, we'll have to wait a year, obviously, but I'll be curious how teams employ this in the postseason next year. When they use it.
The whole thing, though, is that
the team use a challenge in the first, second, third inning.
Teams can't do it. There will be a time where a player will do it, a catcher will do it, a hitter will do it, or a pitcher will do it, and they'll zoom in on the manager in the dugout going, that wasn't when I wanted you to use it. It'll be interesting.
It will be, yeah.
But it's better than just like somebody calling a pitch 12 inches out going strike. And you're sitting at home going, like I was sitting the other day, the umpire in the Yankees Orioles game missed so many pitches and both dugouts were on the umpire and the umpire was yelling back at both dugouts. And it's like, bro, you stink. You're hearing it from both, which should give you an indication you stink. And I'm just wondering, is there nothing in Major League Baseball right now that would cause anybody in like the operations department, anybody whose job it could be during the inning break to pull the umpire back from home plate in the tunnel and go with a tablet? Yeah. These are the ones you just missed. You're barking at that manager and you're barking back at that manager. And there's a reason why they're barking at you. Get better.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen. When you can see every game, there's the Twitter accounts that monitor every single pitch.
But
and every
why
single
can't
decision.
In real time it be brought up? Remember that one time Pat Bev got a technical because he brought a digital camera out to the ref?
Yeah, to show him.
Here. I would love for that to be done by somebody in management in baseball.
That's funny.
But this is now going to be that because it's going to be on the scoreboard. 55,000 people are going to see, and it's going to be like that guy behind home plate. Yeah, I got that one wrong. So now maybe the next ones will be called better, differently, or maybe less consistently. I'm just coming up with the difference and the unintended consequences, which is what you're supposed to do in a competition committee.
Well, the situation, if a team has gone 0 for 2 and they don't have any left, and suddenly there's a huge call late in the game, and they can't challenge now.
That's another one.
But it's not like NFL where under 2 minutes, it's automatic.
It is so better than the alternative right now. I'm willing to see what it looks like. Because we're all seeing this box. We're all seeing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, or if you're watching GameCast on your phone, you can see where the pitch is.
We're all seeing the box. So either take the box away and don't give us the box, which I don't want.
It's in the box.
Well, the other night wasn't a strike in the box. And we kept on seeing strike. Not anymore. Not anymore. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Zach Brown of the Zach Brown Band is coming out right here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Let's bring Zach Brown out here next on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
They got Willa. They got my daughter. I need to find her.
From acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
On September 26th, experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another. Only in theaters September 26th. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17 animated without parent.
You can hide.
Experience a membership that backs your business journey with American Express Business Platinum. Earn 5x membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on amextravel.com. Plus, enjoy a welcome offer of 200,000 points after you spend $20,000 on purchases on the card within your first 3 months of membership. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Zach Brown is here. He just gave me a bunch of gifts, which I've got a mug for you.
Perfect.
There you go. That's a fair trade.
Cheers.
Cheers to you. Again, the highly anticipated new album from Zach Brown Band, Love and Fear, on December 5th, and that's also when you're going to go to the Sphere in Las Vegas to kick off a residency there. The first weekend is already sold out. We had Kenny Chesney on the show before he went into the Sphere.
Yes, sir.
And he was talking about how, you know, you spend a lot of time syncing up your music to whatever's going on. I guess you can't call it the walls of the Sphere, but whatever's going on, mm-hmm. to sync it up. And that's a significant endeavor. Are you in the midst of doing that right now?
We are. We've been working on it 18 months. So we've got a lot longer runway than anyone else that's been able to go in there. So,
sure.
And we're also telling a story. So that's the first one that I've seen. It'll be the first of its kind in that scenario. And the title, Love and Fear, you can boil most of your decisions in your life based out of one of those two things.
Yes.
And I try not to base my decisions on fear, but on the love of doing something and believing that it's a worthy cause. But the juxtaposition that we get to create in the content, mm-hmm. of being able to be there. So every one of the human emotions, we're going to try to pull on that string. There's like horror, jump scare moments, and then going out into soaring, beautiful things. So a rise and fall of all these things of tension and release and things, kind of like the storms we all go through in life, where,
sure.
we'll have really difficult times. It seems like things happen in threes or sixes or nines, like however many times. And then we get through those things, and all the hard things that ever happened to us, we look back on, and it's like, I was learning something through that. I couldn't see it at the time, but... Yes. Life's been a series of those things for me, and getting to tell that story and about my childhood, about a lot of things that only people that were really close to me would know. Getting to do that and then create all the content behind everything. I got to work with a 40-piece orchestra for this. We recorded it for the album and filmed it for Sphere. We got a 20-piece choir.
That you're bringing into the Sphere with you?
Oh, and we film them.
And so you'll be putting them?
We film them, yeah. Their content, we'll have them as part of it.
Dude.
But being able to,
even
the new album, you know, we got a new song that just came out with Dolly, and mm-hmm. It's called Butterfly. 40-piece orchestra on that. Getting to work with her, getting to have the orchestra on it, all things. Getting to produce an album that's on the level where there's really not, I'm just going big, yeah. on everything. And all the convergence of all the promotion, and we're all independent. So, you know, we're not with a record label, and we just put our own marketing dollars and our own efforts behind this to expose it, get it out, release mm-hmm. some of the songs along the way. So some of the people that hear them in the Sphere, if they're fans, they've had a chance to kind of get to know some of the songs that we're doing, and then playing a lot of the songs that people would expect, playing some of the curveballs that we love to do, uh-huh. cover wise.
Sure.
But it's this is a love letter to our fans, and the amount of work that's gone into it and pulling something off on this level is just a reminder that we're not slowing down. You know, we're in this, and we'll always be performing, and we owe a lot to our fans. They're the ones that have carried us through,
sure.
You know, decades and staying relevant. So this is a big statement for us, and getting to do it in that building is an honor, and getting to do it with the team of people we've got together to make it magic.
Yeah, I saw with my wife U2, which was the first act to, yep. be in the Sphere in Las Vegas. And I just, you know, when you say about a jump scare, I'm like wondering what that would look like, because you could feel like the walls are literally closing in,
right.
in that place.
Right.
Like, you better be careful. Like, people better take their nitroglycerin before they come in to see you.
That's true.
If you're jump scaring them in the Sphere, because it is a sensor. I've never seen anything like, I felt kind of stupid too, because I, you know, we showed up before everything was going on, and I saw the walls in there,
mm-hmm.
and they were they were made of like these big cinder blocks. And I'm like, oh, there must be some sort of special type of, you know, material that you could beam this stuff on. And then when U2 started, the cinder blocks broke. And I'm like, oh, that was a projection the entire time. And I felt dumb. I felt stupid. Like I went in there. I'm like, oh, there's cinder blocks. And they're like, no, you could put whatever the hell you want on this thing.
That's right.
Which must give you such incredible creative freedoms when you got 18 months to figure this out with your music too, right?
Yeah, you're limited by your imagination and your budget of what you can do in there. And the people that we've got helping create that content are really, really incredible.
Right.
And a lot of the tricks, you know, optical illusions, things
you can
create in there. It's the only place that I've seen where you're in a building and you feel like you're outside. You feel the wind on your face watching the sunrise and you can't discern that it's
you're not making it up.
Video.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then, and the fact that you're having your new album on the same day.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, man. That's that's how you promote it. That's how you push it. That's how you distribute it. And that's how you're there for your fans. Again, Zach Brown of Zach Brown Band here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've never met. So apologies if this comes across in a different way. But I thought Love and Fear was about being a Falcon fan. No.
Wow.
No, I mean kind of is a little bit of both.
Yeah, you apply that to a lot of things.
Am I wrong?
A lot of things in life.
My bad if I come across, but and that's your team, the Atlanta Falcons?
I'm from Atlanta and home team, you know, Falcons, Braves, Bulldogs.
Okay.
But I've got a lot of friends that play as well and that have had played and retired, and so I've got different people I'll pull for depending on what's happening. But I played football 11 years.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And
when
I was five until I was 16, I played guard and tackle and then linebacker.
You're in the trenches.
Yeah.
You're in the trenches.
Yeah, and I love the sport. And then I did judo in college, and that kind of opened my eyes to MMA, and that's really my favorite sport.
That is.
I mean, UFC is my...
So who's your fighter? Who are you particularly
Probably Justin Gaethje is probably my favorite fighter, but lots of them over time. But I absolutely love that sport. I watch as much as I possibly can.
Would
I stream them all.
Would you have done it if you could?
No,
do it?
And I don't roll anymore because of my fingers. You know, there's a lot of grip strength, a lot of things grabbing gis and things, and I've got to protect my hands. Yeah. So I don't roll anymore. But I love to watch people compete, and I love to watch the evolution of a sport. How much it's changed and the worst fighter in the UFC now would have smashed anybody early on because everybody trains different disciplines.
Sure.
But that's definitely my favorite sport and I study it.
That is.
Yep.
Okay. And then, so Georgia Bulldogs must have given you some immense satisfaction in the last few years.
Absolutely, man. We waited 40 years to get another championship. But as a kid, you know, most of my family went to UGA.
Okay.
And as a kid, riding back in the car with my dad from like deer camp when I was a kid, listening to Larry Munson on AM radio, you know, broadcasting the dogs. And it's been a part of my life. And now my fiance, she's University of Texas.
Oh boy.
So she's a Longhorn. So, and I've got a daughter going to school there.
Where, in Austin?
Next year in Austin.
Okay.
So it's a house divided when they play each other, but otherwise I've got to pull for them. I got another daughter at Georgia Tech, which is big rival right there in Georgia, but now I got to be a Tech fan too. So
Georgia Tech just came in with a big win.
Yeah,
recently.
Yeah, and the Tech Georgia game last year, that quarterback, the amount of heart that kid has, man, it's pretty special. So got lots of teams now.
You sure do.
Yeah,
I mean Texas is as big a rival as you might have for the whole shooting match this year.
Yeah.
Okay, so when that happens, what does things look like in the Zach Brown household?
But if I'm watching Texas and going to the games with my lady, I gotta be a UT fan, and my daughter's going there, so I inherited these other teams, but lifelong Bulldog fan.
But I do believe November 15th, is that the day? Okay, so it'll be 20 days before your Sphere. I don't know, will you be in Vegas at that point in time, or?
We'll be getting ready. Rehearsals, we'll be getting ready.
Okay.
I haven't gotten to see it. I'm a couple of weeks away from seeing all the content in the Sphere. We've been using, you know,
VR
headsets now to see everything. Jeez,
isn't this amazing?
Resolution's not quite the same, but
that is so cool.
But yeah,
well, I'm just trying to point out that you might not be in the same room as your fiance for this game.
I think we'll be together for that game.
Okay.
Even if I got stuff going on, we're gonna be. We'll be watching it. You can be friends after.
You have ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have ways. You have ways to make sure that you can all be together for that thing. Zach Brown is here. So your Falcons, man. I mean, like week one looked good until the very end. Week two was just dynamite. Week three was like, what was that here
in the
NFL?
I think we're in transition again, man. I think we're finding our foothold again. But it's just as a kid, going to games, going to, you know, and my kids, being able to take them, and Arthur Blank is a dear friend.
He's such a great man.
He's such a sweet man.
He's been such a good friend to NFL Network over the 22 years.
An incredible Big force time. As well.
Right.
In philanthropy and sports and everything. So gotta root for, I'm not fair weather, you know, but it's exciting to have some new blood, some new chance to try to, you know, pull some things together. The transition may take another year.
And you have performed at a Super Bowl, correct? You were telling me back there. I remember this.
Yeah,
as well.
I sang the anthem at the Patriots Falcons Super Bowl, and it's 28-3 at halftime. We're celebrating and watching them get oxygen and coming back, and some of the catches that Edelman made in that game. And so part of my exercise regimen for a lot of years was playing Madden. So I'd get on like an arc trainer, an elliptical, and I'd play Madden. So that was the era that I was playing Patriots on Madden, playing against, you know, friends and crew and stuff like that whenever I would get some exercise. So it was a good way to like take your mind off of cardio. Just to, you know, you play a full game and an hour goes by and it's like, you know, you get it done. But it's wow. Yeah.
But you had to be sitting there thinking, yeah, I sung the national anthem here today. This is one of the greatest days of my entire life. I sing the national anthem in a Super Bowl.
Brutal.
Atlanta's up 28-3 in a Super Bowl. And did you think you had something to do with it at that point in time? A little party? Were you sitting there watching?
I withdraw any claims that I had anything to do with the success of that game. But that was a tough one. Tough loss.
Matt Ryan's one of my favorite people to meet, too. Matt Ryan's
he's a great dude.
So you mentioned that you have friends who are playing in the league that are also...
J.J. Watt was a great friend. You know, and watching my kids get him out at Foursquare at the house was pretty fun. And then he'd get mad, and when he'd hit the ball, it would turn into a frisbee as it flies through the air.
Makes sense. That tracks.
Playing with him and his brother, you know, and TJ. And being able to just hang out and play Foursquare. And you know, we have a nonprofit, a campus that we built called Camp Southern Ground. And it's like a college, university quality campus. We do kids camps there. So me and JJ snuck through the woods while camp was going on and the kids are out playing games and stuff, and jumped in and got to play with them and hang out.
Yes.
And, you know, Matt Stafford's a friend, you know, and
he's in line for another Super Bowl.
Coming through UGA and getting to be friends with him. Great guy. So, you know, got to pull for my boys when they're playing.
Yeah. Stafford, you know, he was this close to 3-0 this past weekend too. And he's got a real shot to win one more and make the Hall of Fame. I'm like, I'm not mincing any words here.
Yeah.
He's that good. I mean, I think he's now, he's over 60,000 yards in his career. I think he just tied Matt Ryan for most touchdown passes in a career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right there.
Yeah.
He's right
I'm
there.
I'm happy for him.
He's a Georgia guy. Okay. So he's one to go. So before I let you go, what makes a good song? I know I'm going really sort of esoteric here on you. What do you think makes a good song, Zach Brown?
I think it's the relatability. I think when someone hears it and they can feel part of themselves in that song, I think a great song bridges together our human experiences that we have. You know, if I write a song about my daughters and share that, if someone else that's a dad can hear that song and it hits them hard, that kind of transcendence of emotion, you know, and certain songs are just like, some still have a new song out with Snoop and it's, that one's just for fun. And then I have the song with Dolly, which I wrote about for my kids, and getting to have one that really makes you feel something. It's like great art. When you look at great art and you look at a 2D object and it makes you feel something, a song is the same way. And descriptively putting it in a setting and putting it in some way that it relates to someone. And so that's what I'm chasing. I'm chasing things that are common between us. And, you know, learning from like Willie Nelson and Dolly and other incredible songwriters, you can state something very simply, but on a lot of levels, it goes really deep in understanding it on the surface. But a great song marries together that message that connects us as human beings with an incredible melody, with harmony, with the timing of how it drops, with what it is. And you're searching for that chill bump moment where someone's listening to a song and it makes them cry, or it makes them have chills, or it makes them do that. And it's that combo of all those things kind of happening, and having nine people in my band, it's more important what they don't play than what they do, because the space is just as important as the noise. So it's, we're always trying to serve the song, and everybody in my band has such incredible musicianship. And ultimately, when we write a song, we figure out what kind of dress it's going to wear. Sometimes it's this big extravagant thing, and sometimes it's just very minimal. It's just like a guitar and a fiddle and voices. So there's a good mix of that on the new album. And I think it's one of the last forms that's relevant of American poetry, like what connects us as human beings,
which is important in this day and age, to say the least. You got a good Willie Nelson story for me before I let you go?
Oh, I love Willie. And Willie and Dolly are like in such rare air. You know, there'll never be another one of either one of them.
When'd you meet him?
I've met Willie several times. We opened up for him a long time ago, and I come on the bus and I walk through two or three elderly gentlemen that work with him that are kind of halfway passed out, kind of stoned, sitting there. And then I come in and I sit down at a booth, and it's like a carved booth like you'd have like at the Waffle House. Like, but it's nice. And you're sitting there, and you know, and he's rolling one, and he's talking, and he's trying to get you to partake before you go on and play, which he loves to do. He loves to try to just give people a smash so they go out, and then he likes to watch what happens.
Wow.
So you had to turn down. I couldn't do it. I had to turn down smoking with Willie because I had to work. But what an incredible guy, man. What an incredible legacy. And his son Lucas is a great friend. I've got a new song called The Sum, S-U-M, which is really relevant in my life right now. It's one of the most personal songs that we've ever written, and wrote it with Lucas, with his son. That's awesome. He's such a sweetheart and such an incredible talent as well.
What a neat thing for you to be able to, you know, write a song with Willie Nelson's son and turn down Willie Nelson when he's offering you something. and then Dolly Parton too, man. I mean, like, you want to talk about legend as well to be around
Kendra,
her.
My fiance is really close with her as well, and makes a line of jewelry for her, and we have a lot of ties that way. But there's not a sweeter, more talented, brilliant, beautiful human on the earth than Dolly.
Dude, what a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for the gifts.
You're welcome.
The mug is yours to keep.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And Love and Fear is available everywhere you get your music on Friday, December 5th. And then on that night, along with the release of the new Zac Brown Band album, A Residency in the Sphere. Awesome. And I can't wait for you to show off your talents with this remarkable sensory experience.
Thank you.
In the Sphere. And so how long does the residency last? Just
December and January.
Okay. All right. So, so you're spending New Year's in Vegas pretty much, or?
Not sure.
Okay. We'll work on it.
Yeah, not sure. I'm going to be in the middle of it.
Got it.
It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things.
Well, so it'll be if you're in Vegas, want to go to Vegas, now you got a reason to do exactly that. What a pleasure to have you here. Anytime you want.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate you, man.
Zac Brown, everybody. At Zac Brown and at Zac Brown Band on Instagram. Back here to wrap up this show in a sec.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai has got this all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid to tell you about why it's an incredible SUV. There's a spacious interior, comfy for the entire crew, capable of going off-road, a 600-plus miles of range for you. The driver behind the wheel just makes it that much more special. Let it be you. It's the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, so much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603. Back here again on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Listen, I learned this a long time ago. I knew the guy back in college, and I, you know, was with. I was there when NFL Network hired him, and I was there when he left for ESPN, and it bummed me out. When Adam Schefter reports something, it's going to be right. So Adam mentioned Jackson Dart. He's going to get the start. Today, it's now official. Jackson Dart is starting. And Brian Daboll, why did you do it? Hit it.
So in terms of the quarterback situation, I met both with Russ yesterday and Jackson privately. And Russ was nothing but a pro, which I would expect him to be. It's my decision. I'm going with Jackson. We're going to get him ready to play this week and the remainder of the season. He's going to do everything he can. Russ will be the backup. The conversations that I've had with these young men will be private. The details will be private. All I can tell you is we're going with Jackson, and we're getting ready to play. So I'm not going to add too much to it. Those are private conversations. It's my decision, and we're going with Jackson.
So it's not his first rodeo here in the New York City market. Not going to say what we mentioned in the meetings. Not going to say why I did it. And it's also my decision, because we were wondering yesterday, he did it because of why. Could be his own two eyes. He could see that Jackson Dart is ready. He could also see what's in the locker room. People are like, hey, we're 0-3. This season's circling a drain right now. 0-4 is pretty much a wrap, even in this world where you get an extra regular season game than previous years with 17. And thus, we want the kid. He takes the pulse check. Or it's the ownership saying, coach, it's time. That's why I mentioned multiple times my decision, I would say. So one way to get something out of him is to ask him what you're expecting out of Jackson Dart.
What do you expect from him, coach?
Expect him to prepare. Expect him to go out here and get better each time he plays. It's not always going to be perfect, but I do think that he has the right makeup and athleticism. And look, we're going to do everything we can do to help him be the best player. I know he is as well. It's not just on one person. It's on the entire team. And that's what we're going to do.
That said, it is a quarterback-driven league, and everything that I'm reading and also gleaning from those we talk to here on this show, as well as those who I talk to around, the four and out inside the 10-yard line with the game 22-9 on the north side of the two-minute warning, with enough timeouts and a two-minute warning to try and get the ball back and win the game with no timeouts remaining, that Russ throwing one so far up the tunnel that it was an intentional grounding, and then not doing very much on a quarterback draw. You could say it's a play call. And then on third and fourth down, throwing it out of the back of the end zone, rather than putting it on a wide receiver and maybe getting a flag, maybe getting something. You could say the protection was bad, but the fact that, like, a fourth down throwaway. You saw yesterday, Schlereth basically said it was because he didn't want to throw an interception, because that counts on a ledger and is a legacy breaker. Called it selfish, which is one way to put it. Another way to look at it is Russ was fighting for his life and he's just throwing it away, which is making no sense. I heard that that was the last straw. So I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just telling you what you hear. I'm just like sharing with what I hear when it sounds like a person's in the know. Like, hey, those four downs, that was the end of it. So you got to go with the kid, and he better be athletic, because the Chargers can run you down. What a baptism by fire that's going to be. Mm-hmm. Week 4. 3-0 Chargers coming east. It's an early window game when you're coming from west to east. That's a benefit to the East Coast team, that's for sure. But, dude, you want to talk about being out of your lane? How does flying 11 and a half hours to play a football game sound? That's what the Chargers did. And they looked pretty spry to me. And they were, you know, 4 hours ahead in that one. That's three different time zones ahead. This one will just be two times. Oh, it's four time zones. This will just be three.
It's going to be good.
Dude, I guess.
Got to do it.
I was thinking one more week. But when you're 0-4, I guess you want to go 0-4 with the kid showing a pulse.
Yep.
And it's scatterboot time, too, because Tyrone Tracy Jr. is out. Yep. So you got your two rookies in the backfield, and you got your second-year stud out wide to try and create some problems. Best of luck to the Giants. I do like Dable, and I do root for him.
For sure.
And all my friends who are Giants friends and fans, you know. On tomorrow's show, Dan Soder is going to join us, the actor. We're also going to have Syracuse star Mike Tomczak is on tomorrow's program.
See.
It's fine.
Well, he's going to talk about the Steelers playing in the Ireland game.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I see where you're going.
Totally deserve it. I actually had kind of forgotten about it for a second.
Sneaky good games with Art Schleister from Syracuse fan.
I mean, of all people, really.
Well, I mean, it's also a shot at Ohio State, too, pal. You know? Just playing it both ways.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.